And welcome in to the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you doing?
Tired, but not angry, because Aladdin was delightful last night.
That's good. That's very good. At least you're not angry, but tired. I mean, like, are you prepared again tonight to stay up for Lakers Warriors again?
Well, here's the thing. I'll be in the 501 club for Janet Jackson.
Oh boy.
So with Katie and two of the kids, and I'm excited about Janet Jackson. I mean, I know every word and every song, man.
Yeah.
So she's phenomenal in concert.
Oh, you've seen her?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I've never seen her. I'm excited about it. So do I gyrate embarrassingly?
Well, I think it's a must.
In front of my children?
Yeah.
Or do I anger my wife and hang out in the club and watch the TV after begging them to put the Warriors game on?
You know, I've got enough faith in you that I feel like you can accomplish both.
I mean, I could do the phone thing and try to, like, discreetly, you know, like, have it down here while I'm like, nasty boys don't mean a thing.
I think there's a good mingling area. There's a good mingling area near the TV. So you could, you know, you could have maybe a cocktail in one hand, watching the game, by simultaneously dancing, embarrassing your kids, and singing Janet Jackson.
Yeah, I think you can pull off both for sure.
Well, we're going to try. It's threading a needle tonight, so we'll see. Tomorrow will be good for me, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Be real good. It's quite the week/weekend here in Nashville. I was reading some posts on social media yesterday from various news outlets here locally. Hotel prices quite out of control this weekend with Janet Jackson tonight and then 3 consecutive Taylor Swift concerts at Nissan Stadium this weekend, too. It's going to be a doozy downtown.
Yeah. Gouge those Swifties.
That's right. So we'll see what happens on that front. But apparently hotel prices out of control in Nashville this weekend.
Also, ticket prices. On the secondary market, you cannot find a Taylor Swift ticket for under $900.
Jeez. You're gracious.
That is so insane. Taylor, help a girl out.
Man.
Yeah, seriously. I've been trying to, because they didn't get me a ticket for Friday. I think I've already said this. Yeah. Obstructed view. I did find $750, but it was obstructed view.
Oh, okay. Obstructed
view. A single obstructed view for $750.
Joe. Yeah,
sounds great.
Do not buy that.
Well, I just have to get in contact with my close personal friend, Taylor Swift, and we'll see if we can get this figured out.
Yeah. Why? We should have just gone to you.
Yeah, Robbie, why aren't we backstage? This is your fault.
Look, I'm staying as far away from this thing as I possibly can over the weekend.
You have been a backup singer for her before. Why can't you again?
Well, that's a good question. Maybe I didn't make the cut this time. We'll see if we can get back to it. That's a question for Taylor, not for me.
Fair.
Just throwing it out there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We got a whole lot to get into today on the program. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be our guest at 7 o'clock. Looking forward to that. And, of course, our weekly visit with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, talking the NFL draft and all things NFL at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that as well. Ryan Tannehill speaking to the media yesterday, Joe Rex wrote, and what has become at this point an annual tradition of speaking after the draft when the Titans have selected a quarterback. Last year it was Malik Willis, this year it was Will Levis, and some very interesting comments yesterday by Ryan Tannehill, and we got a lot to get into on that front, but one of the things that came up was Ryan Tannehill and his conversation with Rand Carthon. And Carthon, you know, spoke in the pre-draft press conference about speaking with Ryan Tannehill a few weeks ago. I think it may have been back in February when he spoke with Ryan Tannehill and talked about Tannehill knowing where he stands with the organization. And Ryan Tannehill was asked about that yesterday at the press conference. Here's what Tannehill had to say.
Ranson talked to you in February and said you knew exactly where you stood with the organization. Where is that? How do you stand with the organization?
My job's to get ready to go win football games, and that's what I'm going to do each and every day.
So that was a very quick answer from Ryan Tannehill yesterday about where he stands with the organization and that his job is to go win football games. Obviously, Joe, we now know post-draft that they have drafted Will Levis, and they have drafted Will Levis to be the quarterback of the future. And that was one of many kind of interesting tidbits from the Ryan Tannehill press conference yesterday. What'd you make of that? And what'd you make of the Tannehill press conference yesterday over at a very fancy new media room where the Tennessee Titans practice?
Yeah, very, very nice studio. I mean, they have press conferences in all kinds of different places now. You know, it is wild to think that two straight years now he's had to basically answer questions. First of all, have to watch a draft in which a quarterback is taken high, and then have to answer the questions about it. It was a lot different than last year's presser in a couple ways. One thing is, if you guys remember last year, he didn't show up to this, so it was a lot later.
Yep.
I guess it would have been, was it during actual minicamp, I guess?
I believe so.
Yeah. So there was that, and there was like the, I don't know, what did he have?
The mentor comment?
Well, there was that, but yes, but also he had like the Celsius ad or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Right?
He's fresh off the boat, yeah.
Yeah, there's that, and yes, and then the mentor. I actually was kind of surprised, like I would have, like a little bit disappointed, I guess, in Kaharski for not saying, "And what about mentoring this year, Ryan?" But he didn't ask that question. But it was, I think, you know, it was a little bit. I mean, last year it's like, okay, you have 2 years left in your deal. I mean, I know there's voidable years, but 2 years left. This is the last year of his deal. Last year, it was like 2 years left, and there's a competition potentially, but it's not until next year, and there's a lot of unknown. I mean, yesterday, we're talking to a guy who is entering his last year with the Tennessee Titans. I mean, unless, and I threw it out this week, what if, you know, Corey Curtis and I were talking after the presser, what if, you know, again, what if he's just incredible?
Yeah.
And, but the thing is, it's going to be hard for him to be incredible because the offense itself, as a whole, is going to make that very tough on him. But, you know, we were basically talking to a guy who is entering the last year with the Titans, barring something unforeseen. And, you know, I mean, he's playing this year to extend his career as a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's auditioning this year for other teams. Now, I'm not saying that that's like foremost on his mind. He's going to do, I expect him to do what he's done. Ryan Tannehill is a pro. He's a leader. He's a very good player, but that's the reality for him, is that he's trying to make himself viable to start for someone else next year. And you know, he took the high road yesterday, but there were some moments that were clearly, you know, like clear signs of, there was a subtext there of frustration. Yeah. And good for him. He should be frustrated. I mean, I think he handled it right. It's like, you're not going to come right out and complain, but some of his comments, you know, about the receivers, about drafting another quarterback, he was very quick talking about Will Levis. Just to tell you, I mean, this guy, he's taking some hits from the Titans.
Well, no question. And look, I agree. I mean, if you're him reading the room right now, the Malik Willis thing was one thing last year, and you went through it, and that was a third-round pick, and, you know, we went through mentor gate and all that stuff, and I'm glad that didn't come up again yesterday, although I guess it would have kind of been funny at the end of the press conference. So, mentoring, what about Will Levis? You can take that road this year. But to your point, like Ryan Tannehill, if he plays well this year, like that's really what he needs to be worried about in terms of, if you play well, you're going to have a job somewhere. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be here, but you'll have a job somewhere next year as a starting quarterback. Like if he plays really well, you know, whether it's, you know, a team in transition looking for a bridge quarterback or whatever the situation would be, that would probably be the most likely thing, is he'll be a starting quarterback next year if he comes out and plays really well next year. The likelihood is it's just not going to be here. I mean, they've drafted Will Levis for a reason in the second round, and they moved up to do so at number 33 overall. Will Levis is going to be a starting quarterback in 2024 for the Titans, barring something unforeseen happening. So, like, if you're him, really the only thing you can control is how you play. And to your point, Joe, there's a limit, I think, to how much he can control how he plays, because right now he doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to other than Treylon Burks out there. And even Treylon Burks isn't proven at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, and, I mean, like, in my mind, I thought last year was a big bounce back year for Ryan Tannehill before he got hurt.
Agreed.
But It's not like the numbers necessarily say that, you know. So it's, I mean, it's just like I'm looking back right now at the draft last year. I know we've talked about this before, but you think about if you're Ryan Tannehill sitting here right now. First of all, had they not moved up the other night, I'm going to go with Cedric Tillman. That's my belief. Okay.
Okay.
That Cedric Tillman is the choice where they were going to pick. So Cedric Tillman is, he's the choice where they were going to pick in the.
At 72, in the third.
Yeah, round. At 72. So it's, yeah. So Cedric Tillman is who they're going to pick at 72. So who do they pick at 41? So let's say that at 41, you know, they can, let's say at 41, they also decide, you know, they're not moving up. They're not going to quarterback. They're going to get some more, you know, help on the offense. I mean, I suppose, you know, they could do defense. Now, they could have gone Jaden Reed, taking it from your Packers.
They could have.
Early. You know, Rashee Rice. I mean, some of those guys, you've also got tight ends higher regarded, you know, than I mean, Luke Musgrave is a guy that went right after 41, went at 42. Whatever. I mean, there's a lot of those guys. Point being, and then you can go back to last, you know, Marvin Mims is a guy, Brenton Strange, the Penn State tight end. Yeah, and then who knows? I mean, the Wiley pick is something different. Maybe the Wiley pick, you actually address defense or another offensive line, whatever it is. But bottom line is there's two players right there where you help yourself. You could potentially help Tannehill in the offense. And then last year, you know, you got guys like Jalen Tolbert, Rashad White, if you want to talk about addressing running back, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I know they took Haskins. Well, whatever. I mean, they took Haskins. Right now, that doesn't look like a very good pick. And I think what they just did in this draft tells you they don't think it was a very good pick. You could have a totally different situation around Ryan Tannehill right now where he feels supported, where what Vrabel said after the Cincinnati game, got to be great around him, was actually addressed with action. And instead, and I know it's two different GMs, but Vrabel's been there the whole time. Instead, let's just keep taking quarterbacks and until we can get this guy out of here is the subtext of their message.
Well, and like you said, some interesting comments on that front from Ryan Tannehill yesterday and some subtext there as well. We'll continue the conversation on that coming up next. Take more of your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Brian, when you did talk to Rand, did that settle you in terms of the direction and you know what to expect here in the next few months?
I don't know. You know, it's like those conversations you can be, you know, thought of in a lot of different ways. But at the end of the day, I have an opportunity in front of me to go out and play football, and that's what I'm here to do.
That was Ryan Tannehill yesterday at the press conference over at St. Thomas Sports Park. Very interesting question from Gentry Estes, who we'll have on the show coming up at 7 o'clock there to Tannehill. And a couple of long pauses there from Ryan Tannehill, Joe Rex. So it sounds like he was thinking very hard about what he wanted to say there.
Yeah, what he wanted to say, what he wanted to not say.
Yep. I mean,
it sounded, yeah, there was no like, you know, it was an amazing conversation, you know, but I mean, he basically glossed over that part of it entirely, and he kind of goes back to the default of, hey, here to win football games. Gentry, yeah, who will have the top of the hour. He has a good column on this, too, at the Tennessean. You know, and I agree with the premise, which is, I mean, the headline says Ryan Tannehill deserves better from the Tennessee Titans than this sloppy offseason. I think that's a good way to put it. It has been. You can't totally control, you know, rumors. And if you're going to call teams about someone, which I don't blame the Titans for doing at all, to be clear, if you're going to, then it's going to get out, you know. that you've been shopping. And again, Tannehill can't be surprised by that. But if you just look, you look at the multi-year situation for him, and look, the Cincinnati game, I have to put it mostly on him. Okay.
Yeah.
I will say that, like, if things are drastically better in some ways this year, then, you know, without the receiver additions that we thought there might be, and it kind of looks like Tim Kelly and Tannehill have a good thing going, then you will look at that 2-year window and also say, yeah, Downing deserves a chunk of that blame for sure. But ultimately, like, that game, and he threw some picks, you know, they threw the 4 picks against the Texans that year. They still got the 1 seed. For the most part, all of these things that have diminished the offense have nothing to do with him. He's hung in there and watched, again, at last year, A.J. Brown, bye! Malik Willis, oh, okay. And now this year, here comes Will Levis. Receiver, 7th round. I mean, again, I thought he handled it well yesterday, but how could he not be frustrated?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the offense has deteriorated around him. Now, the one thing that, if you're Tannehill, and he talked about this a little bit yesterday, that you're happy with is they've revamped the offensive line. Now, I have no idea how effective it's going to be, but they've certainly addressed the offensive line with Dillard and Brunsko coming in, of course, taking Skoronski and Duncan in the draft, too. So you've addressed the offensive line. There's no question about that. So I guess that's, if you're Tannehill, like, that's the one part that you feel good about, is maybe there's a chance that your offensive line is significantly better than it was a year ago, and that helps you out in terms of your production as well. And then there's the wide receiver room, and Ryan Tannehill was asked about the wide receivers yesterday as well at the press conference. Here's what Tannehill had to say on that front.
Yeah, guys are out there working hard. Traylon has been doing a great job. Nick's doing a great job. Kyle is out running again, so that's great to see. Mason's out there working hard. Racy's moving well. You know, we have a bunch of guys that have been around and have been doing a good job for us in preparation. You know, learning a new system, being a new offense, new concepts, all that type of stuff. But guys are digging in. They're working hard, and that's all you can ask for.
So Tannehill discussing the wide receiver room yesterday and, you know, talked about in the draft, you know, they didn't draft anybody to the 7th round. I think he said at one point that, yeah, thinking it might have come a little earlier, but it is what it is at this point. And you could just see, like, the frustration on his face. And again, like, Tannehill said the right things yesterday. I mean, he didn't air out, you know, his dirty laundry in the media. But, Joe, I walked away from viewing that press conference yesterday, and I just – you could just feel that Ryan Tannehill's reading the room. He knows what the score is here with Will Levis being drafted, and he knows that while the Titans are preparing for their quarterback of the future, in the present, the wide receiver's position specifically has not really been addressed this offseason. And we've talked about that a lot. And there's a lot of Titans fans at the moment screaming about how casual the Titans are with their approach to wide receiver. And you could tell that's a little bit frustrating for Ryan Tannehill, too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He had the comment about, a little later than I would have thought. he said, quote, "They don't ask me my thoughts on draft picks. Mike and Rand make the decisions. Obviously, I knew it was an area that could be addressed. They did just a little bit probably later than I thought it was going to be." And another time, again, he just talked about those guys there. And he's working with them. And look, I mean, those are the guys he named. They're going to be key. And some of those guys beyond Treylon Burks can make plays, and I think can help this team cobble together a passing game. But he also at one point said the room, basically, it is what it is, you know, without, you know, ripping anyone. I mean, look, I don't think there's – I haven't seen a – post-draft positional group ranking in the NFL. But if anybody can point me to another team that should be number 32 at receiver, I'm all ears.
Yeah, I mean, the Titans have got to be right there. I mean, I'm sure that there are other teams that we could go through that are close. Like, I'm sure, you know, like the Texans don't have a great wide receiver room. And, you know,
they got Robert Woods now.
The Packers have, like, 4 guys in the wide receiver room, so it's not even really a complete room at this point. So there's other teams you could point to, but yeah, I mean,
I mean, but
Titans got to
be bottom. But you talk about. Yeah. I mean, the Packers have now, they Watson. Have to me three promising young guys.
Correct.
Right? I mean, I personally like Reed. We'll see, you know. But those other two guys late last year kind of came on. And that's the thing is, you know, a lot of times it doesn't happen immediately for a rookie. Yeah. I think they'd be last. One other thing that is interesting, you know, someone on the text line says, I hadn't thought about this. Someone said he wasn't told last year about drafting Willis. They told him that they drafted Levis. So, in other words, I mean, obviously he knows they drafted him when they drafted him, but I assume you mean they called him in advance of the Levis pick.
Well,
is that right? That's accurate.
I don't know that they would have had time to call him before the Levis pick. They traded up to go get him.
Vrabel said he called Ryan, so I took that as
after.
You know, called him right after and kind of explained it to him. Honestly, I don't remember if they called him or not after they took Willis. I mean, I'm sure there had to be some kind of conversation, right? Like last year, it was just like, hey, Mike, so with that third round pick, who did you draft? I forgot, Ryan. I didn't realize.
Couldn't reach him last year. He's on the boat.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Just, So I don't know that there's any like difference there. But one thing yesterday that was definitely interesting. Chigakonkwo initially talking about this, but definitely Ryan too. Both of those two guys talking about how different the offense is going to be.
Yeah.
And Chig talking about tempo. You know, Ryan, I asked Ryan then about tempo to follow up, and he said, you know, just putting pressure on defense, that's one way, but they're trying to, you know, figure out other ways. It's not like they got into the nitty-gritty, but boy, they definitely sounded like Tim Kelly's got a whole new playbook and approach to what they had with Todd Downing, and frankly good for him and them, because they need to freshen some things up.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds from what they're talking like it's a new system with new terminology and everything else that they're in the process of learning right now. So I found that to be really interesting as well. William from Madison on the text line says, this being Star Wars Day, the Titans want Tannehill to be Obi-Wan Kenobi, but he still wants to be Luke Skywalker. This is from William from Madison on the text line. Happy May the 4th. May the 4th
be
with you.
Well, well done. Well done, William. That's pretty good. Or they want him to be Obi-Wan, but they want him to retire into being Ben Kenobi, but he still wants to be Obi-Wan Kenobi. Right. You could do that, too.
Yeah, that's right. That may be better. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. There were other very interesting comments made yesterday by members of the Tennessee Titans that has me thinking back to a coach that was on the roster last year and wondering, good gracious, how bad was it? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road.
Did you think or expect a wide receiver might get drafted by this team before number 228?
They don't ask me, you know, my thoughts on draft picks. You know, Mike and Rand make those decisions. Obviously, you know, I knew it was an area that could be addressed, but they did just a little bit probably later than I thought it was going to. But we added some other key positions, some talent that will help us across the board.
That was Ryan Tannehill yesterday over at the Titans practice facility. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We're live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And I have a Moments Peace $100 gift card to give away. Mother's Day is coming up, so keep that in mind. Got a Moments Peace $100 gift card to give away and your chance to be qualified to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well and a pair of tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena coming up on May 26th. Hit up our text line. Don't call. Hit up the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com if you can answer this trivia question. We've talked about Ryan Tannehill all morning. Ryan Tannehill was the third quarterback selected in the 2012 NFL draft class. Who were the first two quarterbacks selected in that draft class? If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The first person to correctly guess the answer will win a $100 Moments Peace gift card and will be qualified to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card and qualified to win a pair of tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena coming up on May 26th. Joe Rexroad, as I look at the format of the way that Tannehill answered that question there, you can kind of, and it's even more clear as you're watching him, like you can just kind of see him, you know, fighting back words and trying to discover the right thing to say yesterday. It was quite the entertaining press conference with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, look, I think it was actually almost masterful because it's
really
like,
was.
You know, it's like, if you're there, if you're in the room, that's one of those where like the video really helps, you know, the either being there or seeing on video, it very much helps to kind of understand, you know, what he's thinking, what he's feeling. But, you know, he said everything you're supposed to say. And ultimately, again, he'll be fine. I mean, I don't want to pour out too much sympathy for someone, you know, who's got a base salary of $27 million this year.
Yeah.
Okay. But I feel bad for him to some extent because, you know, most of the issues for this team, and certainly, you know, 7 straight losses and where they are not his doing. But look, it's also it's what the league is. I mean, you're trying to find the next quarterback. You're trying to find the quarterback you can have on a rookie deal. And yeah, you are trying to be better than Ryan Tannehill. I've said it before. I'll keep saying it. I'll be interested to see when the Tennessee Titans have quarterbacking that can match or exceed Ryan Tannehill at his best. That is going to be very difficult.
Yep, it is, and the charge is going to be for Will Levis at some point to maybe be that guy. And we'll see if he's able to answer the bell on that front. Joe, some other interesting comments made yesterday. You brought up Chig Okonkwo talking about kind of the speed element of the offense. Aaron Brewer speaking yesterday as well, and he had a couple of different topics that were interesting, one of which was Keith Carter, the former Titans offensive line coach, that is now, I believe, with the New York Jets. And this is not the first time that we've talked about Keith Carter. Taylor Lewan had some interesting comments on Bussin' with the Boys a few months ago about kind of his relationship with Keith Carter and the coaching style that he brought to the table. And Aaron Brewer discussed Keith Carter yesterday as well and had some very frank comments about the former Titans offensive line coach. Here's what Aaron Brewer had to say yesterday.
Keith was a real aggressive, like zero tolerance. It was like his way or the highway. So that's what it was with him. And how's he going to listen to y'all can share your ideas and go back and forth with each other?
So that was Aaron Brewer yesterday talking about Keith Carter. He was real aggressive and it was his way or the highway. And now the Titans do not have him around. Joe, between listening to his comments on Keith Carter and the ones that Taylor Lewan had on Bussin' with the Boys a few months ago, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Keith Carter was not overly popular in the Titans offensive line room.
Yeah, I guess not. I do think back to his first year. I think it was training camp. So it was Vrabel's first year too. And, you know, just over there, and there's some other media over there too, I think, but doing some drills. And like Lewan was being so openly disrespectful to him, it was actually incredible. It was like, oh my God, he hates him and he hates him. Like it was, because, you know, I mean, Lewan is obviously a very strong personality. Lewan later talked about, and I want to say it was probably the next year. Because remember, Keith Carter was also very much, I mean, he was one of Jared's favorite, like, this guy must be fired right now for a while. And I think it was the next year, Lewan came back from the PED suspension. Nate Davis started to figure it out, you know, and they started to become really good. At some point, Lewan talked about how, like, he and Keith Carter at first, it was very rocky. Yeah, we all saw that. And they kind of, you know, they got into a groove. And but like you said, then he said some things. There's been other, I want to say, the lineman who retired, who the heck? Oh my God. Help me out. Come on.
I can see his face.
You know who I'm talking about. Yes. I mean, he had to fill in, you know, he had to fill in at left tackle. There was a little bit of, of bashing. I think maybe Buck for A to Z wrote something that
Ty Sombrio.
Thank you. Sombrio. Yeah. So, yeah, but this is also like a pet peeve of mine. which is like, you know, like the whoever, whatever coach is gone. Like if that coach was super, like, you know, tough coach, it's like, oh, you know, this new coach is just listens to us and talks. And it was the other way around. It's like, you know, this new coach is tough and he just pushes us to succeed, yeah. You know? Yeah. So it's a pet peeve. It's like, oh, you always make sure you rip whoever left. It's like everything, you know, that this team's roster issues, for the most part, people are just going to put it all on John Robinson. I mean, he was the GM. He gets most of the blame. But a lot of people who weigh in on different decisions they've made that have gone wrong. So, yeah, Aaron Brewer, appreciate his frankness. It sounds like there were some issues with Keith Carter. It's interesting to me that, like, Vrabel, during his tenure, has been passionately in defense of Keith Carter, right?
Yeah.
And then last year was, I mean, it seemed to me like from the outside looking in, like, last year at some point, Vrabel seems to have realized, I know that they were terrible, but I mean, they were terrible. They were terrible because they had Dennis Daly at left tackle, yeah. Right? They had Dennis Daly at left tackle. I mean, it's not Keith Carter did not choose the offensive line. Keith Carter did not shoot. Now, did Keith Carter weigh in on getting Wilson? Did Keith Carter weigh in on getting Raidens? I'm sure. How do you not ask your offensive line coach? But for the most part, I feel like it was more personnel than coaching, but it seems like Vrabel, and even he kind of said some comments at the end of season wrap up that was you could take as criticism of Keith Carter.
Well, some other news on the Brewer front yesterday. It looks like he is the center for the Titans heading into this year, which I don't think is a huge surprise. We've talked about that. Obviously, Ben Jones out. Aaron Brewer has experience playing the center position, but he confirmed that yesterday. Also said, Joe, that he's around 290 pounds, although the media might call him 240 yesterday. That's what Aaron Brewer said as well. So I enjoyed the Aaron Brewer comments yesterday.
I always enjoy Aaron Brewer. Oh, man. Yeah. He's like, media probably having about 240, 250. Anyone in particular, Aaron, you'd like to call out?
That was
I can
awesome.
Think of someone.
Yeah, I can too. But not a huge surprise that he would be working at the center position, I don't think.
What if Aaron Brewer was snapping to Bryce Jones? It'd be like the Wizard of Oz, you know?
Bryce
like
Young?
Bryce Jones, Joe?
Oh, my gosh. 6 a.m. hour. It was a great joke. It was a great joke, too. Like, what if Aaron Brewer was snapping to Bryce Young? Like, you know? Like,
ding dong, the witch is dead, the wicked witch.
Strong wind comes in, and they're both just flat on their back.
Like elf football?
That's okay. I keep saying Tajay Sharp. Instead of Tajay Spears.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, do we have a winner on the trivia question?
Yes, we do. Garrett is our winner. Congratulations.
Garrett is the winner. What? Andrew Luck and RG3, the two quarterbacks selected before Ryan Tannehill in 2012.
And the right answers were coming in a flood. Good job, all y'all.
Way to go, people. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your submissions, as always, on the text line. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, you are up first. Your best and worst things in the world of sports for this week.
Okay. I'm not doing a combo deal this week. Two different sports.
Wow.
Best thing, Steph Curry. 50 points. Game 7 on the road, the first 50-point game in an NBA playoff Game 7 in history, and frankly, one of the greatest individual performances I've ever seen. I mean, really, in any sport, complete, as every team does. The entire focus is on trying to stop him, and the shots he made, the things he did in the lane to get to finish, and just the overall clutchness, it was incredible. You know, there are a lot of players, you know, who play above the rim, and who can do things and over the years have done things that are just amazing to watch. So many of them. We never had someone like Steph Curry, and he has changed the game, and some would say maybe not for the better, because I don't necessarily like seeing 7-year-olds like launch from 30 feet. You know, I mean, it's not exactly how you want to approach the game sometimes, but I mean, look, it's what he is as a player and what he's done as a clutch performer is astounding. And that was an all timer. So that's my best. My worst is the Will Levis experience from an ESPN perspective. Actually, you know, so I was talking to Matt Hasselbeck yesterday for something I'm writing, and he gave me this stat. I assume this is out there somewhere. I had not heard this. He said Will Levis and his family were on camera 39 times.
Yes.
You've heard this?
Mm-hmm.
39 times during the draft, 27 times, you know, 27 more than anyone else. Yeah. Like, we're so obsessed with failure and, I'm not saying you wouldn't show Will Levis and his family, but it does become this, it's almost like this weird, like, obsession and fascination with someone failing, you know? And then you combine that with, like, the stuff that Rich Gannon said about, maybe don't show up with your mom and sister, dude. Like, what? Just so much of it is bothersome. So just and we've seen it before. Aaron Rodgers, to me, was the first one going way back to 2005. Brady Quinn is another one. We've had others. It's typically a quarterback, you know, who falls. Just didn't like the conversation around it. And then the especially the social media aspect of it. And then, of course, that Titans fan who burned their nice vintage Eddie George jersey in protest of drafting Will.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Wait, you're joking?
No, I'm not joking. I'll find the tweet for you.
I didn't see that one. What did Eddie George do?
It was very feeble. Well, I guess I don't exactly. I don't
that
know.
Could be worth something, sir.
But it was a very feeble attempt to burn a jersey. It was like just like burnt ends on the jersey. It was weird, but yeah, I'll find it for you.
All right. Michelle Knesvick, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, I'll start with best because it has to do with the draft as well. So my best thing in sports is that, and I thought that there was a chance that this could happen, that three of these rookie quarterbacks are all in the AFC South. I think specifically because we are here in Tennessee, we cover the Titans, we see the Colts, the Texans, the Jags twice a year. I think it's going to be really exciting. Just that new era, and then they're all specifically in this division. This class was kind of polarizing, whether it be, you know, the CJ Stroud S2 score, Anthony Richardson's rawness, Will Levis, just as a whole. So I'm excited to just kind of watch how all three of these guys develop in this division. And I think John McClain put it perfectly. He said, he called them all babies. And he's like, and now we will just see who can raise their baby the best. And I think that was a perfect way to put it. So shout out John McClain. But yeah, that's my best in sports. My worst in sports is the Memphis Grizzlies and the whole Dylan Brooks just situation, and really just all the off the court stuff for really a better part of their season this year. And I understand some of Dylan Brooks's comments were off putting, and, you know, not showing up to media was just really soft and everything surrounding it too. But I also think, you know, as a sports fan, and if you're a Grizzlies fan too, you know, you also have to put some on Ja Morant as well, especially if you want him to be the face of your franchise. Some of the off-the-court stuff that was done by him this season was far worse than Dylan Brooks, but unfortunately in sports, a lot of times play can outweigh and your leash can be a tad longer. I mean, Ja Morant is a far better player than Dylan Brooks and his leash is a little bit longer, but he skipped out on media too and things like that. So just a lot going on in that organization right now. A lot of maturing to be done this offseason. So that's my worst in sports this week.
Yep, no question about that. My good best one. Thing in sports is, and I'm sure that most people have seen this, the Chris Vaughn video of the Dallas Cowboys. He's a scout yes. for the Cowboys, and they That's drafted awesome. Deuce Vaughn. And there's the video that the Cowboys put out of basically them making the pick and Chris Vaughn being able to call his son and let him know that the Cowboys are drafting there. I thought that was really cool, just kind of behind the scenes. And the, when Jerry Jones – and by the way, speaking of Star Wars Day, the draft room for the Dallas Cowboys looks like it's straight out of the Death Star. So that was fun to watch on draft night too. But like Jerry Jones – announcing that to Chris Vaughn that Deuce Vaughn was going to be their pick. Chris Vaughn didn't know that that's where they were going, and then he started crying in the draft room. It was just really cool. So I enjoyed that. My best in sports. That's the only time you'll ever hear a best in sports Cowboys pick from me. But Chris Vaughn and Deuce Vaughn win it this time around. My worst in sports, the Boston Bruins. Up 3-1 in a series. You win 65 games in the regular season. You set a wins record. You set a points record. And then you just choke. You choke it away in the playoffs. Jim Montgomery, I thought, panicked as coach with some of the decisions that he made in that series. You got a guy that's Vezina Trophy, going to win it coming up, and he doesn't even play the whole time. And I know that they switch goalies the whole year, but just it was ridiculous the way that they handled the back part of that series, I thought. And you're going to go down as in history as a team that – set a wins record, set a points record, and now couldn't get out of the first round against, albeit I think a good Florida Panthers team, but nobody's going to remember the season that Boston had with the way that it ended based on getting out in the first round. So the Boston Bruins, my worst thing in sports. And it also, Joe, probably means that their Stanley Cup window is closed. I don't know what the future looks like with Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci, but a big part of why they were so good is they got those guys playing for basically dirt cheap this year. And I just don't know that that's going to be the case as they move forward here.
Yeah, and there are ads that obviously work. But the Rangers and Bruins both were really had good things going this year and just did so much of the deadline, you kind of change the makeup of your team, you know? Yep. I don't know, I'm just saying.
Cam on the text line says, the best is the NHL playoffs, personally watching – and personally watching a ton of toxic Titans fans blow up over the draft. People need to calm down. The worst is LeBron trying to say that Anthony Davis's jersey will be in the rafters for the Lakers. I guess they could put half a jersey up there since he only plays 50% of the time. That's from Cam on the text line. His worst thing in sports.
Put it right up. Good one, Cam. Put it right up there next to Austin Reeves' jersey.
Make it a crop top.
Yeah, I like this. I like this one. Best thing, NFL draft is over. Worst thing, draft pick talk continues.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Settle in.
Second that.
Liam says, one man's worst is another man's best. I love seeing the Bruins go down in flames. This is from Liam on the text line. Yeah, like I'm not saying I didn't somewhat enjoy watching it. I'm just saying it's a heck of a collapse by the Boston Bruins. So there you go.
Yeah.
615-737.
Yeah, they're a great best and worst.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. We'll get his thoughts on the Ryan Tannehill press conference yesterday, the draft for the Titans, and a whole lot more. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.